did want to remind all parties today's call is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect. Thank you. You may go ahead.
Thank you. And, thanks to folks for showing up to today's HSTLD Advisory Group conference call. I will turn the mic over to Michael Pallade shortly, but do want to do a quick roll call for folks on the phone. I see dialed in the bridge, we have Joe St. Sauve. And maybe on mute.
Nope, I'm here.
Oh, hi, Joe. John McElwain.
Here.
Paul Spencer.
Here.
And Michael Pallade.
Here as well.
Great.
Okay, so thanks, Craig, for scheduling this call.
Okay.
Did anyone just join?
Yeah, that was Jonathan Frakes.
Just Jonathan. Hi, Mike.
Jonathan.
Hi, Craig.
Hi, Jonathan.
Hey, everyone. So our game plan for the day is to consider extending the response window for respondents. I would say I've been pleasantly surprised. We've had, Craig, correct me if I'm wrong, we've had Ernst & Young, KPMG, Deloitte, and
right.
Pricewaterhouse, PwC. So,
and also Grant Thornton.
From ERE, correct?
No, Grant Thornton is a big consultancy as well.
Okay, all right. I guess did they submit anything to the list, or is that just they've reached out to ICANN directly?
They reached out to Michael Salazar, who runs the new GTLD program office, and said that they were going to be responding, and they at this point did not have any questions. Now, folks that haven't submitted questions may actually choose to rethink that if we do extend the period. But another reason for having the call today, and I raised this with Michael yesterday, is the notion of having something along the lines of a bidders conference shortly after the question period closes to have an open forum for all those who asked questions to have the questions answered and to possibly entertain other questions. So that's another one of the agenda items today is to discuss, and I hope agree to this bidders-like conference call.
I put it this way. I have no problem to that. It will be, if you will, an open call, and I guess it will be for the group to interact. I guess that's how it would go down. How do you envision that bidders conference call being conducted or coordinated?
So I think it's important to note that the call, we're calling it open, but it's going to be open to those that ask questions, or at least that's the concept now. So we potentially could only have five or six participants on the phone. In terms of the format, I think what we would probably do is we would want to have answers to all the questions written out in advance. And so we'd be in a position to share a consistent message with the folks on the phone. And the conference certainly could be attended by anyone in the advisory group. I think we would need to determine ahead of time who would be the speakers, both from the advisory group and or from ICANN staff. Having it become a free-for-all and an opportunity to kind of start reopening issues or renegotiating issues is not what the call's intended to do. So we ought to just get real clear on that with each other before we, before we move forward with that.
I think that's reasonable. I mean, let's go through. I appreciate that sort of interesting or that first talking point. So let's go through the list. Paul, you want to speak to that as far as that approach?
Yeah, I was just about to speak up and say that one option might be to consider a slight alternative to the kind of open forum question, and that is if we are looking to prepare answers ahead of time to questions that have been fielded, we can supply those answers ahead of time to the participants and make it, not grant them the right to basically be throwing up new questions during it, but give them the opportunity to ask for any clarification on answers we had. That could control it a little bit more. I do like the idea of having, one or two appointed spokespersons for that call, because I think, not that I don't trust everyone's judgment, but if there are five or six people answering the same question, chances are good we might end up just adding to confusion rather than adding to resolution.
Yeah, Paul, to your first point about supplying the answers ahead of time, I think that's something we definitely will want to do, and that way the discussion on the call is more about those answers and maybe clarifying and or shedding some new light on what we've already provided. I agree that if we don't provide it in advance, it's not going to make for probably an effective meeting.
All right. So how long do you anticipate? I would assume who on ICANN staff is going to be taking the lead in drafting the initial response? Is that a Dave? Is that a Craig? Or is that someone else?
It's probably a Dave and a Craig with the first crack, and then probably a legal review, and then the advisory group.
Okay, not a problem with that. So from that standpoint, the way I'm looking at this is, let me listen to everyone. John, you're up. What do you think is the best approach to move forward with this?
Yeah, I agree with Paul. I think that it would be difficult to, adequately answer questions without having the answers prepared first, just with some of the divergence of opinions that we've had. I think we've got a good method of that we're discussing now to deal with that situation.
Okay, excellent. Joe, you're up.
I think I go ahead and agree with everyone else, and I think it's also going to be important that the answers sort of be reviewed for accuracy and legal sufficiency by a legal counsel. Since this is something that potentially might result in contractual matters, it'd be a mess if you were to go ahead and have something that really didn't pass muster.
Absolutely.
I'm in a wholehearted agreement there. So Joe, Paul, John, myself. Is there anyone else on the call, Craig?
John.
Is that it? John. Sorry.
I'm here, and I'm a me too. I agree.
All right. So what happens is we're agreeing on the approach. We have consensus. So the question then back to you, Craig, is what do you anticipate as far as the timeline to get these initial responses? Now, when's the question period close? Did it close already? It closed on Monday, or it closes Friday?
Well, it closed on Monday, but we're talking about extending it another 2 weeks until the 29th of October.
Okay.
So I would think that this conference call would happen probably within a week or 10 days after that deadline. And then
the only thing I want to build in here, Craig, is, before we have a conference call, I'd at least like one conference call for this group to sort of sync up on the questions. So
yeah.
If ICANN staff feels comfortable in cranking out answers 3 days after or something like that, that would be my only I want to make sure the group has the ability to review before we schedule that call.
Right. So we already have we already have questions from KPMG now, which we can start working on now. If they choose to augment them, given the additional time, they certainly could do that. Just the sense that I'm getting from the folks that I've talked to, the PwCs and the KPMGs, is that they don't have a lot of questions, but the ones that they have are pretty consistent across the board, and I think what we're going to wind up seeing is a pretty high-level response to a number of the questions that we posed in the RFI, because drilling down to the level of detail for some questions that we've posed just requires a level of effort that I think a lot of these folks are not willing to spend at this point until they learn more.
Fair enough. Okay, so if you feel confident that you can get the lead, let me just pull up a calendar here real quick. So you would propose closing it on what? When would you want to extend it to then? The 29th then?
Yeah, I'm thinking the 29th of October, which is a Friday, and then trying to have the bidders call or the conference call potentially as early as the following Friday, which is the 5th of November.
So then that would allow group. And as I said, my concern there is as long as I can staff, if they can get sort of the initial draft to us by, Monday, that would allow us at least, say, 24 hours before our normal Wednesday or our slot at Wednesday call to review that documentation. And then, we could get the group sign off on that Wednesday call, and then we have it on Friday. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Craig.
I might actually play with the dates, a couple days forward or a couple days backward to make sure that staff has enough time to take the initial pass and get a check on it, and that the advisory group still has its time to do a review. So we don't want to rush here. We want to get good information, and sometimes that takes a little bit more time. So as long as the group is okay with giving me the right to be flexible with the dates by, a day or two on each side, I'll work on changing those and get something up shortly.
We're an amenable bunch. Haven't we proved that over the last year?
Generally speaking.
Come on. As I said, the only thing I would be very adamant about is making sure we have the ability to have our call be at least, a day or two before the call. Two other data points, if I could ask. Kurt yesterday during the BC consultation in Washington talked about the economic report and the DAG and all that stuff being out, or the applicant guidebook. In the next, I think he said 3 weeks, I think, was the economic report. Is this going, do you see this call taking place before then? Will there be any reference to the HSTLD in the DAG that we should be aware of that the bidders may find useful? I'm just trying to figure out if there's any intersection and whether delaying this call until after the publication of the next applicant guidebook would be useful. Any feedback on your side on that, Craig?
Yeah, it's a really good question, and I don't know. I'll need to circle around with the folks that have that kind of information.
Okay. Well, I do think that's relevant because this sort of touches upon one of the other things that you and I had talked about yesterday. I was personally a little disappointed by sort of the board's, making unilateral statements on the HSTLD program when we haven't even finished our work. I find that disappointing, but I would like to know if we're going to have any more surprises, because if we have a call and then all of a sudden something shows up in the applicant guidebook, I think it's prudent to make sure we have all the variables on the table before we schedule the call with those professional organizations that have taken the time to respond. I don't think we want to waste their time.
I agree with you, Mike.
Again, that's my personal opinion. Paul, John, Joe, Jonathan, is there agreement on that?
This is Paul. Yeah, I would agree. It would be safe to say we were highly disappointed by the board's statement. But I would agree with you. I think, in all honesty, for the to be professional, if we're going to go to these organizations you know, whether they be Big Four or somebody in the consulting field like Grant Thornton, I think it's only fair that they know up front the kind of support for this program.
Excellent. All right. So, Joe or John, any other comments on this point?
This is Joe. I would agree.
Yeah, this is John. I agree. I was wondering whether we knew if anything precipitated that. Like, did ICANN Legal give a presentation or an opinion about the HSDLD that sparked that comment?
Let me interject here, and then I'll let Craig answer this question or circle back to those people higher up the food chain that may have it. Yesterday during the BC call, I don't know if you participated in that, John, there was a cross-constituency segment where there was some IP folk there. Metallics was in attendance. I specifically asked Kurt when the briefing documents that were prepared by staff for the board in advance of the retreat/board meeting would be made available. Kurt said that he thought that was the intention, and that those documents should be made available consistent with prior practice in connection with, I believe, the June and April meeting where the staff documents were made available. Kurt suggested that I follow up with general counsel, and I intend to do that to have access to those documents because, again, disappointed is that's one word. I would probably use something a little more strongly worded, but yes. So that is my opinion. Craig, do you know if you were consulted as the lead staff person on this in the preparation of a briefing document to the board on this?
Well, I know that I drafted the paper for the board. To be honest, what may have changed after I submitted it to to our SVP of Services and the General Counsel's office, I don't know. But if Kurt said the intent is to publish those documents, then you'll get to see exactly what was provided.
I appreciate that. And again, it was a little disappointing that ICANN did not find the resources to take any policy people that have been dealing with these issues to the board retreat. That is, shall we say, a deviation. Historically, there has been at least one policy representative that has been available at prior board retreats to brief the board on these issues. So, again, disappointing, but we trudge forward. Okay.
If I can for just a second. This is Joe.
Sure. Joe, please.
It seems to me that the message that is being sent by the board pretty clearly is, you know, this program is not something ICANN really is, you know, behind. And that's really a disappointment, I think. So I'm not sure if there's any formal process by which we can provide feedback on that, but I think there should be some feedback to the board.
I'm actually working on, I have an idea on feedback. It's probably best not to, you know, again, I want to be careful not to blur, you know, any actions I take as chair, but it is good to hear that there is equal disappointment among some of the advisory group members, and perhaps I will contact you off list to figure out what we do to voice our displeasure. Excellent. So I think what we want to do here, and again, I think it's important here to note that, Craig has been, I think, very supportive. I've appreciated the support that he's provided over the last year, and that I think some of these decisions are above his pay grade. So I think we need to focus on that. And again, Craig, we do appreciate – I appreciate the work and support that you've provided, as well as Dave, too. So I think what I'd like to do here is talk about how we conduct this, because the one point I think that you raised, Craig, that was very valid is we want to try to minimize the, if you will, the voices or the data points or points of interaction during this call. So what I would like to do here is let me put this out there for proposal to get feedback. I would like to have perhaps one ICANN staff person perhaps Dave, if he's going to be the principal person drafting this, and perhaps one person from the advisory group, and then I would try to perhaps just coordinate and play referee or traffic cop, for lack of a better term. And if we do go down that path, it's tough because there have been some people that have been very diligent and have been on all the calls, but I think the work that Bits and the Financial Roundtable has done in the original work and heavy lifting in this thing, I mean, that's something that I think, you know, I would be, you know, I would suggest having Paul perhaps be that point person for the group. So I just put that out there. And, you know, Paul, I'll let you go last, but Joe and John and Jonathan, is that something that you would be amenable with, or what do you think?
But this is John McElwain. Yeah, I think that's a fine idea, and I'm, you know, to the extent that Paul needs any help, I volunteer to help out. I know we can't let the group get too big, but I think that's a good idea.
Joe, I know you've been supportive, and I appreciate some of your recent comments as well. I mean, is this something, are you on board, or?
Yeah, I'm fine with it.
Okay. And what we could perhaps do is, for those people that are on instant messaging, if you want, I'm on, and that could be one way of funneling some of the comments to me as a perhaps traffic cop. Jonathan, any comments there?
No, I completely support Paul for this.
And I guess the question here is, Paul, the fact that I graciously volunteered you, is that something that you're willing to take up?
You not only graciously volunteered me, you waited until everyone else endorsed the idea before you asked the question.
I'm a good lawyer here, my friend. I know how to sit there and create a leading question. So anyway,
now,
congratulations.
I think
Paul.
That would be fine. The only probably slight caveat I would throw in is that as my role changes here at Bits, I'm still likely to stay involved with this effort. But I think most of you know, maybe not, that we actually onboarded Greg Rattray to take over the role that I used to have when all this started. So somewhere between somebody from our organization will front with the questions. That's not an issue. I think we have, I don't want to say we have the biggest stake, but we've been pushing on this issue hard with ICANN for a while. And I think us taking the lead in that would be consistent with how important we think this is. So I'm good with it.
All right. Excellent. Okay, Craig, I think back to your original points. I think the group is on board for extending it, creating the conference, limiting the, if you will, the number of speakers. I think we've addressed all your initial comments there. Is there anything else that you would like to propose or discuss?
Well, I'd be remiss if I didn't bring up the fact that you proposed yesterday to either include the board resolution in the announcement somehow or some include a reference to it. And I think that we have a difference of opinion about that, and I wanted to make sure we talked about it now before before we lost other folks on the call.
No, exactly, and that was something I was going to bring up. Did you send the proposal? I know you had sent it to me. Did you send it to the list, or could you send it to the list, or have you sent it to the list?
I have not, and I will gladly do so. I mean, I could actually do it right now while we're all talking.
Let's do it real time. So again, just to get everyone up to speed here, Craig had reached out to me yesterday. And again, consistent with the good working relationship we've had over the last year, showed me a proposed announcement extending the window. It was at that time that I said that I proposed this call to go over a number of issues. But one of the issues or points of divergence between Craig and I was I felt that the board actions, the board resolution sent a clear message, and that by not communicating that in the extension and bringing the board statement to the attention of potential bidders, it would be the only word I can say is irresponsible not to include this important data point. Because if I was a bidder and I was not aware of that and found out about it at a later date, I would find it material. So again, this is Mike Pelage's personal opinion. What I'd like to do here is, perhaps while Craig's email is making its way through the email distribution chain, perhaps just see what other people think about this. Paul, you had expressed your disappointment within the board resolution. Do you think this is something material that we should be disclosing to bidders?
Well, I think if there's a practical question that maybe goes to the heart of should we or shouldn't we, maybe hinges a little bit on timing, but looking at the questions that were submitted in the document that was already set out, clearly, number five asks the question, what is the planned extent of ICANN's participation in the program? So we're going to have to answer that question at some point anyhow. So the practical answer is yes, we need to answer it. The timing question, I guess, becomes, do we do that now as we loop back around? Do we do it only for the people who need an extension, I guess? But I think, the right way to do it is to tell them where everything stands at this point in time and be honest with them up front. This is a lot of investment. I would be surprised if there are any of the bidders who don't already know what the board said. These are all smart organizations. They're all keeping track on what's going on in this space. So I would be surprised if any of them didn't know, and I would. That's probably why question number five is on this list of questions we got. But, I think in all fairness, we should be upfront about it. Now, I know that we are meeting with some of the ICANN folks in about a week or so to express our grave disappointment in that action. It sounds like there may be some further activity, though. I guess one question I would have is this a closed door? Is this the final word we're going to hear from ICANN with regard to HSTLD that they've essentially washed their hands?
I'll Craig, if you'd like to answer it. I don't think you have an answer, but I'll let you answer.
That's another one of those above my pay grade questions.
So I think, Paul, this is my opinion based upon 6 years of reading Kurt's speak, particularly with regard to new GTLDs. His discussions yesterday talked about how a potential path forward was to deal with the new applicant guidebook, much like they handle the budget, where they release it, and then if there's edits, they come back and make it. So if I was a betting person reading Kurt speak, the intention of the board is to release the next DAG, but not call it a DAG, but just call it an applicant guidebook. There will be some people that will point to the lack of a draft status as it being final, and those Kool-Aid drinkers could go forward and do what they do best. And then there will be other people that will say, we still want to revise it. But there clearly seems to be an intent to sort of wrap things up. And that's why I would like to know, as I had raised earlier in this call, whether there will be any reference to the HSTLD in the next applicant guidebook. Because I think it is important. Because if it's not there, if there's no references, I think that would be, again, beyond gravely disappointed. So
I guess one question becomes, if we you know, if we firmly believe that you know, Pontius has washed his hands and the matter is done from an ICANN perspective, then yes, we would, in all fairness, reveal that to the bidders. If we still think there is some backdoor or some different approach that's being considered, then the value of revealing the board announcement, I guess, loses some urgency for me, because we could end up blocking out someone who really is interested if there's still some window.
Okay. As I said, this is one of the reasons I wanted to schedule this call, was to get the group's input, because I've always, again, my job as chair is just to coordinate, not to speak on behalf of the group. So, Joe, would you like to speak on this issue as to the pros and cons and what may be the optimal path forward?
Well, it seems to me like we really want to make sure the HSTLD is not treated as something that's ancillary or entirely separate from the new GTLD process. I mean, it should be an integral part of it, I think. So the remarks that were in the announcements yesterday, I mean, it seems clear to me that it's an error, and an error that should be corrected.
Okay. Joe?
That was Joe.
Oh, Joe, I apologize. Yes, John.
Yeah, I agree with everything that's been said, and I would maybe add that, after the statement that, you've highlighted here for us, Michael, thank you, it looks like we need to ask the ICANN board, what involvement is ICANN going to have? I mean, if they're going to not endorse it, if they're not going to certify, if they're not going to enforce the concept, then this really is just an idea that would any one of these interested parties would be free to run with and set any sort of standard. So I'm a little bit confused as to what involvement ICANN intends to have any longer after this statement. And that's what these folks need to know. If not, they ought to just run out and do it themselves.
Excellent. Jonathan?
I was always hoped, I guess, as my vision for this, is that there would be a voluntary program, but that it would have some sort of support or endorsement, like the ICANN stamp, similar to how there is ICANN accredited registrars have a logo seal. And I think it adds to the legitimacy of what's happening from the what's the right way to put it? I think it affects the psychology of the potential person who's trusting the site to be an HSTLD site, that it had some sort of scrutiny by somebody that ICANN has validated as a, a person. So, if the presence of that logo it could be there, I think we get some of the emotional benefit from the perspective of the consumer who's going to trust this. But, I think I would like to see ICANN have a little more support of this. Just from that perspective, if there was some sort of a stamp that they would put on it, it doesn't have to be a stamp that introduces liability. It could be a stamp that just introduces the legitimacy of this program. That's really what I would like to see.
I think we also need to understand why it is that they felt inclined to go ahead and jump in with that kind of disclaimer. Has some attorney told them that they would be subject to huge liability? Have they been threatened with potential suits? I mean, what's the basis for the concern on their part?
Unfortunately, Paul, it's probably best not to speculate. Let's wait to see if the staff papers are made available. And unfortunately, general counsel sometimes takes towards redacting certain segments of the paper. So let's hope that the HSTLD has no redactions in it, and then we'll be able to make that determination. So I think we really need to let me ask you this question right now. To the members on the group, and I'll circulate this to the list as well. If I was to send an email to the general counsel, secretariat, and ask him for that staff, to make that staff briefing paper available, in an unredacted form. Is there anyone who would oppose me sending that letter on behalf of the group?
This is Paul. I would fully support you in sending that letter.
This is Joe. I'd support it.
John?
Yeah, I support it, yes.
Okay, Jonathan?
You know, I'd support it, but I almost think it's kind of a moot point. Like, it might be an exercise that doesn't necessarily get somewhere.
I'm putting it this way, I appreciate it, but one thing I've learned in 11 years, sometimes even though you may not get what you want, you still need to go through the process of asking for it to dot the I's and cross the T's. What I will do here is, since we have just five people on this call, I will propose a correspondence that I will send to the general counsel, and I will send it out to the list to see if there are any objections, and then we'll move forward.
Mike, can I continue my thought just briefly? It's Jonathan again.
Please go. Yes.
Well, I'd imagine, and this is just, you know, in the universe between my own ears, but the way that I rationalized how they came to that outcome was that there must have been some concern over liability or introduction of liability. And to me, it seems like if we did go and write or you know, do some correspondence, would it be constructive to include some questions as to you know, what items or what could be changed or altered to help reduce that resistance or that hesitance that might have led to you know, the outcome?
Jonathan, I'm not opposed to that. And matter of fact, I'm probably in agreement with that. In fact, one of the points I raised yesterday during the session with Kurt is the affirmation of commitments. Paragraph 4 specifically states that ICANN commits to perform and publish analysis of the positive and negative effects of its decision on the public, including any financial impact and positive or negative impact on the security, stability, and resiliency of the DNS. So I actually believe the ICANN staff, ICANN board, have an affirmative duty under the affirmation of commitment to publish an analysis of its decisions. So not only do I think the community is entitled to access to the briefing papers, but when they have taken action to basically, you know, throw this program under the train or throw it under the bus, for a lack of a better term, they need to explain those actions. And the board resolution, you know, those couple of lines, unfortunately, I don't think rise to the level of what is set forth in the affirmation of commitments. My personal opinion, general counsel, Mr. Jeffries will probably disagree, but won't be the first and won't be the last. So I think this is something that, again, I feel very strongly on. And again, I think we need to find out what happened here, Jonathan. So hopefully perhaps I could tweak the communication to extract those data points as well.
Yeah, I agree that kind of keeping a little bit of an olive branch out there and saying that, what can we do to assuage your concern over the program is probably a good idea. I just, not understanding the basis for this statement in the first place, I'm not sure that we make that offer now or wait to at least see what the rationale is behind it and then go back and say, you know, how might we mitigate your concern? But
okay.
And I would add one other thing. I wouldn't want to mitigate it to the point where the program in and of itself is useless.
Well, I don't think anyone, particularly those regulars that have invested a year of their time, want to. I have much better things to do than the, you know, 100 hours I've probably invested in this group. So I think that speaks to everyone that has invested time and effort into it, Paul. So
yeah.
I'm in agreement.
Yeah.
So what I will do, and Jonathan, I agree with you to sort of keep that olive branch, and what I will do is I will draft a letter, we'll circulate it, and we will try to get it out within the next 24 to 48 hours. Now, everyone, did everyone receive the updated announcement that Craig had sent to the list approximately at the top of the hour?
Yep.
In light of, so what do we do? Do we not reference the book? So I guess what I'm hearing right now is until we figure, since there's a lot of people that do not understand, not happy, with regard to the board decision, until we get clarification from the board / staff, it's probably best not to highlight that. Is that what I'm hearing in this announcement? So is to sort of, cast the net as widely as possible and probably not scare off people? Or I guess that's where I'm leaning to right now.
Many people may not be paying attention to what the board says, quite frankly. So if you highlight it, they certainly will have a better chance of noticing it. And I'm not sure you necessarily want them to notice it at this point until it's clarified.
Yeah.
This
okay.
This is John. I still am. I'm stuck a little bit on my comment, which is after the board's statement, what is stopping any one of these people that have interest in just going forward with a certification program? I mean, because I don't understand what ICANN's involvement is going to has anything to do with this program anymore.
Well, I think if I were – this is Paul. I think if I were one of these people, one thing I might question as a result of that announcement is how lucrative the business model is for me now. Because with ICANN basically saying they're out of it completely – I might question what that's going to do to the motivations of people who are creating or who have TLDs today to want to participate in the program, which in turn would suggest that I might not be getting as much revenue in managing a certification program. So that would be one reason I think I would question it if I were in this business.
Yeah, I mean, I think that going to Jonathan's point is, does the ICANN board at least envision that there would be that their involvement would be a certification that involves an ICANN indicia, so that it has some value to these individuals thinking about being a certifier.
Right. So this is Craig. Can you? I'm sorry. I'm not familiar with the word indicia.
I'm sorry. Like a seal or an accreditation that has ICANN name to it.
Yeah, something I guess along the lines of what Jonathan said that the stamp would legitimize the program.
Exactly. I mean, now it seems to me like the board has taken a view that they're just kind of doing a good deed in getting some industry experts together. To suggest some standards and processes that might be useful for somebody to develop a certification. Where I'm confused as to what the ICANN board feels their future involvement will be, and I think that's what we're all wrestling with. This board resolution really throws a lot of, particularly when you look at KPMG's questions. It answers a lot in some respect, but it also, I think we all envision that the board didn't intend to entirely wash their hands or step out of this process.
That's sort of how I read it.
And so they're really just thinking this was an effort to organize some thoughts around the subject and that's it.
My impression is that once they began to see just how much was involved and the potential downside risks, that they went ahead and said, oh, dang, I don't think we should be doing this. But that's just my impression.
Yeah, I, you know, the impression I'm left with is that there was at least at some point some positive motivation to look at this as a program to enhance security, but something happened along the road here in the last couple weeks that we're all struggling to understand, I guess, that suddenly caused this, you know, almost 180 to say, all right, we're out of it. We don't want to have anything to do with the program anymore. Yeah, I don't think it was just a easy way to facilitate a bunch of experts getting together. To paraphrase what I think I heard, I think there was, you know, some legitimate desire to look at this as a way to enhance security. I mean, we always struggled even within the group with regard to the voluntary nature of it to some extent, but I think there was a legitimate desire to see this as a way to enhance security. I think it was part of the whole, you know, malicious conduct reaction, and so I just am really struggling with what happened at the board meeting.
I have a hypothesis. This is Jonathan again. And that hypothesis is that as an organization, you know, if were me, if I were ICANN, I would just simply be concerned about would this, if it were my program, in some way introduce a liability to me. You know, let's say that there is a dot bank and that dot bank gets certified through this HSTLD program and, you know, ICANN's stamp on it is on it. Does that introduce liability to ICANN? Should there be something that failed in that process? And I could understand them being reluctant to, you know, completely adopting that or bringing it in. And this is why I suggested that perhaps getting an understanding from counsel, if that is a true assumption or a true hypothesis, and if so, if there were some things about the program that could be slightly tweaked or altered, such that they could benefit from some sort of a seal or the benefit of legitimacy, you know, to the program, as I've already stated.
So Jonathan, this is Pelage, and let me be a little. I hear you, but let me just be a little cynical here. So this cynical disclaimer alert. If they're worried about litigation, then they shouldn't do the new GTLD program, right? Because they themselves, part of the justification for the $186,000 is they're going to get sued, okay? So if this was purely about, oh, we're worried about potential liability, then don't do the new GTLD process, which we know is a non-starter. Switching to the fact of them representing something, the ICANN board has already accepted a .pro TLD, which is for licensed professionals. So if ICANN's worried about what happens if, right? You know, so what happens if we have a child pornographer in XXX? What happens if we have someone who's no longer licensed in a doctor in .pro? The logic that they would go towards killing this program, if you were to carry that out, they would have to sit there and take a whole bunch of other actions in a whole bunch of different scenarios. So, I'm sorry if I'm just a little cynical in the actions of the board and the lack of communication in their actions. So I'll leave it at that.
You know, it may also be that simply stating that you have a niche for this, it actually implies that there may be some security deficiencies with all the other TLDs. And that may be another issue that folks may not want to go ahead and broach.
Yeah, I'd raise that earlier. I think that's an important thing to note. Sorry to interrupt you.
Oh, no, go ahead.
The thought here is if there... I appreciate the cynicism, Mike. I think it's pragmatic, and I appreciate that about you. It just seems to me that the approach of taking it as a statement of disappointment as opposed to a statement of what would work to help have this seal and come at it from a really productive standpoint as opposed to injecting the frustrations, I guess, into whatever request might have a more productive outcome.
Well, as I said, the group's going to, you know, whatever I send will be approved by the, it will be the consensus or the majority support of the group. So that's the goal here. Right?
Totally cool. And I see eye to eye with you on all this. I just as far as the approach, it seems like it's kind of done, and then we're looking for it to be reopened.
Hold on. To steal my favorite line from Animal House, over? Nothing's over until we say it is. Was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor? Germans? Forget it. He's on a roll. Anyway, I digress. But I don't think this is over because we still have work to do. We still have RFIs to receive. We have calls to take, and we still have work to do. And whether the ICANN board wants to reject a bottom-up consensus-driven or a bottom-up initiative from the community, obviously that's within their discretion, but the community will do what the community needs to do.
Yeah. Well, I wasn't necessarily approaching it from that standpoint that I'm saying the group is done, so much as saying that, you know, we've got a board resolution, and, you know, is there a way to at least find a way to make a friendly amendment to that such that an ICANN logo could be included in such a program should a person go through the RFI process and be selected. I'm not sure if it was Joe or John or Paul who said, you know, what would stop any of these RFI responders from just essentially making their own programs at this point if there's not going to be the benefit of some, you know, ICANN stamp or logo, or I didn't get the fancy word for it.
Indicia.
Indicia. Thank you.
Our trademark brethren, you know, we have fancy words. All right. So what happens here is it's 1 hour into the call. I guess my proposal based upon this discussion is, we leave the proposed text of the extension as is. We, those people of the group that are disappointed in the board action will figure out what the next step is, and we will be able to sit there and respond during the in-person session with the respondents to address their potential concerns. So right now I am inclined to publish the extension as Craig has drafted while we evaluate options to address the board resolution at a later date. That's what I'm hearing, or that's what I see as the best path forward based upon what I've heard on today's call. So, Paul, are you in agreement?
I concur.
Okay. Joe?
I agree.
John?
I agree.
Jonathan?
Sorry, I was muted. Yeah, plus one.
Okay, excellent. So, Craig, you can go ahead and publish that. And as I said, you may want to give a heads up to your colleagues higher up in the food chain that we will be likely communicating with them to seek some further clarification and the disappointment of some members regarding this matter. So that's it. Craig, I propose to sort of wrap up the call. Is there anything else that you feel that you need to be addressed before our next call, whenever that may be?
Yeah, nothing further from me, Mike.
Excellent. Thanks again for your work. And as I said, I think we'll call it a wrap right now. And I will have a draft communication to the General Counsel regarding the staff briefing papers on the HSTLD circulated within, say, the next 24 hours to get group feedback And again, along the lines of what Jonathan said, trying to have an element of an olive branch in there to move forward with this initiative. So thanks again, everyone. Any last-minute comments by anyone before I sign off for the group? Paul?
I'm good.
Joe?
Nothing for me.
John?
I'm good, thanks.
Jonathan?
I'm great, thank you.
Excellent. It's a wrap. Thanks, everyone, for your participation. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.